This is the Necro Macho Entertainment Podcast. Oh yeah. Welcome all you hive scummers who think they can rise through the top of the spire.
Hello, good listeners, and welcome back to the fourth episode of the Necro Macho Entertainment Podcast. We thank you for listening once again. I'm one of your hosts, Roy.
And I'm Richard.
And today we're going to be talking about what is the hobby and what do you need to run a campaign.
Yeah.
But first, we're going to get into what we've been up to. As always, Richard, you can go first.
Okay. So I recently got my Slaver Entourage, the Forge World models, in and got them built, got them primed, looking to use them maybe for the next campaign, creating a narrative with the Slave Ogryn, trying to escape from them. And I also got my, was it Slopper. Slopper. Yeah, painted up. The Forge World big fat dude jumping on some squid.
Yeah.
Tentacle.
That's cool. His tattoo he has on his...
Oh, on his shoulder? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like the... how they did it. So it was fun. He's a fun model to paint.
His branding is a brand. It's not a tattoo. It's a brand.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Tattoo branding. I mean, it's there.
It's there.
Yeah. Also got the guy with the coat open up at his.
Oh, the little trader guy.
Yeah. He's got like the different stuff that's hanging inside of his coat that comes with him. Love that model. He's actually just, I love him. I want to use him for my, little Underhide Market.
Oh yeah. Area. I mean, yeah, it's great. Yeah.
So,
hey man, you need a watch. You need a watch.
Yeah. You need a watch. Yeah. Yeah.
What do they call it? Your Chrono Keeper or whatever.
Chrono Keeper.
Yeah. They have another name for a watch in the 48 universe.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It's not called a watch.
Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. That makes sense. So, but yeah. Did that. I'm planning my next project, which is
ambitious.
Yeah. To say the least, it's a crane system with three cranes, a sky shield landing pad.
Three cranes? That was only two cranes.
Well, GW crane.
Yeah.
The crane that you gave me. And then that big ol' crane that's going, and I've been inspired by other people in the community on Instagram, especially like a Grey Wolf Crusader. He does, rigs up all of his pieces with lights, and I'm wanting to install lights on the sky shield landing pad, have them like blinking to receive like Arvis lighters for supplies, motorize the top crane. So it's going to be quite the project. And then once that's built, building another platform for that to drop into so I can take it out into the Ashways. So it's going to be the biggest model I've built and painted to this point. So, but more of that to come. I'll definitely be posting photos once I get it, I think, assembled and then painted.
No. We need some in-progress pics.
In-progress pics?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless you wanted to fucking do like a time-lapse video where you're building it.
Oh, no. There's no way. No, it's going to be too long for something like that.
Okay.
What about you? What have you been up to?
Goliath Gang.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, so my son has a Goliath Gang, but he doesn't play. And he painted his guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, well, I'll build a Ash Waste Goliath Gang so I can have a dedicated Ash Waste gang. Got the Jackals. I talked about in that episode 2.
Yes.
That I'm converted two of them into
Jews. Yeah.
And one into a bully. So a regular ganger.
Okay.
And then the Dishonored, which is their big guy. He is a champion.
Mm.
So, like what you said you liked with Warcry, how there's a
visual hierarchy.
So there's definitely that with my Goliaths because all my champ and my leaders. So I have a Stemmer, which is a big model. I have the Dishonored. Mm-hmm. And then I have a, what's he called? The Slaughter Priest from Age of Sigmar.
Okay.
Khorne Slaughter Priest.
I don't know much about AOS.
So. The big guy should have had any arms.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So he's a big, roided out dude.
Yeah.
And I cut the corn symbols off of him. And we're going to do some green stuff on him. But he's even bigger than the Stemmer. Barely bigger than the Stemmer.
Yeah.
So there's an obvious hierarchy.
Heads and shoulders taller. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's some regular gangers in there, some regular Goliath gangers.
Variety of weapons. Okay, what's the, you got the brass knuckles?
Yeah, some, that was awesome. So you helped me find some out of print, forge-rolled, masked Goliath heads. Because you can still get the Goliath heads from forge-rolled, just not the masked ones. And the forge-rolled, out of print, Goliath weapons.
Yeah.
And the weapons come with a right arm and a left arm that both have brass knuckles. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I got to give a guy with brass knuckles. They have no in-game effect, which is unfortunate. I would love to have a guy with brass knuckles.
We can do some homebrew rules.
Yes.
Like, that's...
Going off tangent here, they...
like, it's like, I don't think anybody that's ever been hit with brass knuckles forgets that they've ever been hit with brass knuckles.
Yeah.
So...
Yes.
They have an impact.
So when they release the... I don't want to call them squats, but are they in 40K?
Oh, Leagues of Votan.
The Leagues of Votan kill team. There's a guy in there with freaking power brass knuckles. I'm like, that is the best thing I've ever seen in my life. I need somebody with power brass knuckles. That's just, that's the bee's knees. That's where it's at.
I need to have it. Yeah.
I mean, just having a Goliath beat you down with power brass knuckles. Oh, you can't parry this. You don't got a power weapon, sucker.
Yeah.
So I've been building those. I'm still waiting for GW to send our local game store an orc buggy for me to convert. And now I thought about...
Interesting thing about that.
Yes.
I saw on Instagram, I can't remember the user, but a scale 135.
Of the VW?
VW, yeah. Can slot over it if you're wanting to go that aesthetic.
I don't want to go that. I want to go the more, though.
The orc buggy.
The orc buggy.
Without all the orky stuff, all the orc symbols and all that.
Yeah, no orc symbols, just ramshack together.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I told you about this earlier. I want to get a Death Copter.
Yeah.
Because in Mad Max 2, they had a helicopter.
They had a helicopter.
I'm like, Death Copter. I'll just count it as a skimmer. We're good.
Yeah. It's not going to be the most reliable flyer, but.
Hey, whatever. It looks cool.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I've been up to.
Are you still looking to have guys like hanging off of it?
Yes. I wanted to have some guys hanging off the skids. Hanging off or standing up, whatever, on the skids.
Something, yeah.
Yeah. We'll see how that works when I get the model and see what I can do, because I'm not the best or okayest at green stuff.
Oh,
so yeah. I may need to get somebody to draw some up in a program and print them off.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I've been up to.
Okay.
Ready to get into our first topic of the day about what is the hobby?
Yeah.
Okay. So in February, the end of February, I sent Richard an Instagram post by Modern Synthesis, and we'll link this in the show notes, because Modern Synthesis, I don't know if you don't follow him, he is all about some Tyranids. They love, he loves Tyranids and green stuffing. Great job. Great modeler. And they put out a little meme. It's visual, so you can't see it, but so you just convert models you think are cool without worrying about painting or playing the games. And it says me, it's a peaceful life. And I'm like, oh, I know this is going to get Richard up in a tiff. So I sent it to him, and he had some words to say about that. So we're going to talk about this.
Yeah.
That was from February 22nd.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in the camp that you're not done with the model until it's painted. I know that some people, like Modern Synthesis, argues that they're done when they're done building, and that's it. But for me, it's, you don't, when you see a Necromunda model, how do you see it? You see it painted. You see it maybe placed in like some terrain and advertised as like, hey, look at this, the promotional shots of all their marketing campaigns and everything. Like, you're going to see the end product with it painted. And you can take it, cut it apart, do your own thing, cool, whatever. But ultimately, you want to have it painted, I think, because it allows you to slip more into the narrative, more into playing the game, and not, it allows you to get lost in the narrative and allows you to be more engaged and not have that gray plastic just pull you right out.
Okay. So let me ask you a different question. What is the hobby? What is the hobby to you?
So I know it comes down like the three pillars, if there is such a thing: building, painting, playing. I think that's generally what people kind of point to. Getting into this hobby, I liked building and painting. I wanted to build models, but I didn't want to build like World War II tanks or anything because I'm not...
It's not your jam.
No, I'm not an old man that's going through this historical phase, but I wanted to play with them. And that's where I found Warhammer. It's like, okay, it's models I can play with. They have a rule set. Cool. And then I found that I really enjoyed the painting because you can just get lost in it. And playing was not really my thing. I'll do it occasionally, sure. But coming up for a 40K game only to get blown off the table, not super fun for me because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I'm new. So getting into it, like it wasn't until like 30K and like Necromunda that I really started getting into playing and even playing Warcry, having a lot of fun with playing.
Okay. Well, I first heard this on the Independent Characters, Carl Tuttle. I don't know if anybody said it before him, but he has the five pillars of the hobby.
Oh, okay.
Five pillars. All so right.
What's he got?
So you had building, painting, collecting.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Playing,
mm-hmm.
lore.
Hmm.
Because you can take you can take any one of those things, and somebody can just do one of those things, and that's their hobby. You can have somebody who just collects models. Like, hey, that model is cool. I'm going to buy that model already built. Or like, hey, I want that model.
Sure.
I don't want to build it. Hey, can you build this for me? I'll pay you fucking $15 to pay this model. Okay, cool. Building. I like building.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to build. Okay. I don't got to paint them. I can just build them. I like building. I'm going to build them.
Yeah,
that's a hobby. I'm like, I like building these guys. Okay, I accomplished something. I built this cool model. Cool. Set it aside. I'm going to build another cool model.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Set it aside. Painting. You don't have to collect or build to paint. Once again, you can pay somebody to build your stuff or you can buy pre-built models and mm-hmm. paint them. Okay, I paint this model. I don't even have to collect. Okay, paint this model. Okay, I'll give it away. I know there's a guy on Instagram that will paint. He paints Warhammer models. He's in Australia. And he'll just go, like, put them in a cup and go leave them places for some kid to find.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like he'll go to the beach and just leave in a cup there for some kid to find. Hopefully, you know, that gets the kid inspired to play some miniature game.
Okay, yeah.
You know, he may paint it, or she may paint it, whatever. Mm-hmm. Somebody may paint it and be like, I like painting, but I can sell this, you know, now to get some extra income so I can paint some more models, you know.
But I'm coming from the approach that if you're wanting to eventually play.
Ah, so that's a different.
And I'm thinking like in Necromunda's terms, okay, you're assembling these guys, painting them up. Like you want to eventually get to the point of playing. Well, I paint a lot and I've run afoul with not having my gangs painted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've got my nomads, I've got one guy painted out of all of them. And still have nine more to go. So, I still need to get that done. But, and they're just primed right now.
Okay, so,
yeah.
Playing, you need to have the models painted. That is part of the game, of playing the game to be immersed. They need to be painted.
Yeah.
But to be the hobby, somebody have them painted and never play.
That's still
a valid point of the hobby. Collecting, like, I just think the models are cool.
Yeah. I
don't have to play to do that. And then some people don't even like the models. They just read about the lore, like discussing lore with people.
Yeah. I had somebody up at the store a few weeks ago approach me about my Stormbird because I have a whole dire alpha for it. And he was like, I don't have plane envy, but I do it for this. It's like, how much do you want for it? I'll throw this much at you. And it's like, well, it's going to be this much. Like, we couldn't come to terms for pricing. But it was just, he doesn't play that army. Like, you have individuals that are, like you said, just collecting. This guy doesn't play World Eaters, but he saw that, liked it, and wanted it. So, it's definitely a valid hobby, I would say. I mean, it's just like with Magic. Like, you might not play the game, but you like the art on a card or something. And so you collect, or you're wanting a full, complete set of alpha, beta, sure, go for it.
Yeah. So, like, talked about last episode, and I had that Killer Morph model because I bought it because it's cool.
Yeah.
I didn't have any plans on playing with it. It's just a cool model. I didn't convert it because it's just a cool model by itself.
Yeah.
You know.
Honestly, that model needs a cowboy hat. So that's the one thing it's missing.
What's that movie, Cowboys? That cowboy movie?
Cowboy versus Aliens?
Yeah, there you go. That's what you're doing. Cowboys versus Aliens.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it's Cowboy Aliens versus the Imperium.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, to you, the hobby is all of that?
I would say so. I don't find myself drawn to the lore all that much. Like, I've read some, like, maybe 13 books in the Horus Heresy.
I'm sorry.
Some of them are rough. But, like, I've, from, like, my fantasy stuff, I've collected 14,000 points of elves with the eventual hope of getting it painted this year. So, I get the building, painting, playing, collecting, even the lore. Like, I've heard of people that just read books, and that's all that they're into. It's like, well, there's, like, this whole game system you can come play, and there's no, I like my books. I'm gonna stay here. I'm gonna stay in this lane.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, whatever. I'm like,
okay,
cool.
So that post got you in a little tiff because you're like, no, you got to paint it. That's not his hobby. He likes building stuff and converting stuff.
My thought is, if you're looking to eventually play, I would say, like, take 40K for example. If you go to a tournament...
Oh, yeah. If you play, it needs to be painted.
It period. Needs to be painted.
I mean, that's part of
it needs to be painted the game. Based, I think.
Yeah.
Is their new requirement. And I don't think you can get away with a three-dot thing anymore.
No, it has to be, like, painted.
Yeah. So, you're... I just think all around, you're better off having it painted because it truly is done. There's no more that you do to it generally. Like, in a Necromunda campaign, a guy loses an arm, you can cut off the arm, and, like, you can do that stuff, but generally players aren't doing that. Like, that's a lot of hobbying, so, especially during a campaign.
I'm all about playing some Necromunda, but I think I'm on the collecting and building, because I'm like, my gangs aren't, like, all my gangs are not painted, even though they have primed, you know, I'm like, they just look cool. I mean... For me, it's getting painted. I have that, what's the term? Not a phobia. I'm like, well.
Oh, you're.
I have an indecision.
Paralysis.
Yes, I have a hobby paralysis with them. Because I'm like, well, I could paint them, but they look like crap. But now, right now, they're sitting there gray, black, white, whatever I have them. Like, they look good. They're just, it's a blank canvas. And they look good. Yes, if I had somebody paint them, or if I painted them well. If I painted them well, you know, they would look even better. But sitting there, I'm like, hey, this model still looks cool.
Yeah.
You know, if I paint it messed up, it's going to look like, it might look like garbage.
When I was going for my graphic design degree, like, you had to do, like, painting, drawing, like, all the basic stuff to get beyond. Well, you have a blank sheet of paper, and it's like, okay, you're doing a figure drawing of somebody. Okay, well, I'm going to screw it up. And it's like, well... Yeah, you're going to screw it up. Like, you just started drawing naked people. Like, you gotta fail before you succeed. And while you're painting, while doing more models, getting more painting done, it allows you to realize, okay, I'm not so good at this. I'm better at this. So play to your strengths, or develop a style that works for the particular aesthetic that you're going for. Are you wanting the Blanchitsu, grimdark, like, kind of vibe? Okay, well, that's pretty easy. Basic colors, thin your paints, of course, but basic colors, spray some AK Streak and Grime, pull it away, and it looks great. Super simple, super fast. If you're just looking to knock it out. Because people, like, getting the hobby, I thought, oh, you need all the paints for the Eldar getting into it, because you gotta paint it like this, and, like, this is the way that you paint it. You gotta do the base coat, the layers, the shades, the highlights, the secondary highlights, and it's just good on people that do that. It looks great, but for a lot of people, that's a lot of work. And it can definitely... It's not uncommon to hear about people taking like a month to paint 10 guys.
What are you trying to say about me?
No. Yeah, it's just there's...
Everybody's paint time is different. You watch a guy on YouTube paint a model in 15 minutes. Well, he's been doing that for a long time.
Yes. Yeah, and it's how well are you accustomed to this? And that's where I think you speed it. Like, because the whole thing is like time commitment. Painting can be as short or as long as you want it to be. That's up to you. And if you're going for a particular look, it's just at some point you have kind of a set plan of generally this is the way I want it to go and then go about doing it. And it's just like with Bob Ross, it's a little happy accidents.
A little happy little accident.
Yeah. And it's just like when I would do figure drawings with compressed charcoal, it's like you make a mistake, you made a mistake. And it's like, you got to figure it out. You got to keep working with it and try and make it incorporate it into what you're drawing. So you just got to keep working it and you just kind of lean into it and kind of just try and find a groove and write it.
Art is work and art is hard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just given enough time, you'll develop your own style and you'll get faster. Like when I started with Tyranids, took me a little bit figuring out how to do them, paint them. Now I can probably knock out a Hormagon or Termagant in 10 minutes. Like it's dead simple. So.
Okay.
Whereas like before that was like 30 minutes, a mini or 40 minutes figuring it out.
Okay. So you're all about people finishing them all, painting it. Okay.
Oh, it's like in South Park. the boys start a board game club. And they're playing with all these gray miniatures and all the girls show up with their painted minis. They're like, whoa, you got your minis painted? And they're like, yeah, it's always better when you have them painted.
Okay, you can say that. That's fine. But the hobby it's those five things. If you want to play.
Sure, yeah.
Like you're supposed to play, it needs to be painted. But if somebody just wants to build their models, put them on the shelf, make them look pretty. That's what they want to do. That is valid. If they don't want to play with them, that is valid.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just getting ready for this campaign, I did a 3x3 board. And it's like, I didn't want to show up with anything that wasn't unpainted or that didn't match my existing style. So, because it can pull you out of playing the Necromunda campaign.
Yeah.
And with it being, 10, 12 of us, roughly, playing in the campaign, I wanted it to be fun, immersive, and have it painted to a quality that we don't typically see terrain painted at our store. Because our store is primed and,
dry brushed.
Two dry brushes, yeah. So, dead simple. No thought into it.
I mean, that's great for what it is.
Yeah, and it's like when you're trying to supply terrain for historical, fantasy, and sci-fi, I get that. That makes total
sense. Especially with how much terrain they have.
The 36 tables or something?
Yeah.
6x4s? It's ridiculous. So I understand that there's... I want to have people be able to get into it, be drawn into it, and just, wow, this is fun. This is like something I can... pull out my phone and zoom in and take really cool photos, because if they have their minis painted and they're playing on this board, they're definitely going to be incentivized to take more photos and to promote the campaign, to promote more Necromunda. And everybody's going to look at it and it's just like, oh, this is fun. This is cool.
People walking by like, oh, that looks so cool.
Yeah. It draws people who don't even know Necromunda. It's just, they see this 3x3 and it's like, whoa, that's cool. I'm interested. What is this thing? So it's, I think paint really helps sells the hobby, because you look at Golden Demon. It's phenomenal what people come up with and paint schemes, and you're not, as a general player, messing with that level of granularity as far as getting your skin tones, that gradient just perfect, because it's you're not throwing it into a competition. And I don't think anybody has to think that they have to have that level of quality, especially when they're playing, because they're going to get scuffed up. Like, they're something might drop on it.
You're playing with them.
You're playing with them. Your fingers are touching them. The oils from your fingers.
You have to put them face down.
You have to put them face down, face up. God forbid they're running across a crane and they get shot off, or somebody accidentally bumps the table and they fall off.
Yeah.
That's 10 inches off the ground. Like, that sucks. Like, they're going to take a scuff mark.
So it's like what I said earlier, when I said people just like to paint, and there's a painter in Australia that'll just go leave models places because they're painted, and he hopes people will get into the hobby because they see this cool painted little space marine, you know, with this cool bolt, with this cool gun and armor. He's like, oh, you know, what's this?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
I see where you're coming from. Like, if you're playing the game and you're wholly inclusive of the hobby, it needs to be painted.
Yeah.
So, like me, if I'm going to bring my gangs out, they need to be painted. I know I'm super slow. I'm going to get you to paint this Goliath gang for me, and I will have my other gang painted. So yeah. I can't be like, actually, I was about to say, this. I'm not going to put down the first painted gang I've ever had and play a game, and it may not be me painting it. But I had a painted gang once upon a time. It was the old Enforcers for the first edition of Necromunda. Were they painted well? No, but they were painted.
Yeah.
Weren't based.
Yeah, I mean, it's if you're 10 years old getting into the hobby because your parents play, your friends at school play, or you're 30 getting into it, like, hey, just have fun with it. Get into it. Start painting. Because especially if you're doing a campaign, it really helps draw you in, just immerses you into into the game.
Yeah, I'm glad that the stigma about painting is gone. Stigma about somebody else painting your models. Because when I was in third edition, like if you go to tournament, a local tournament, like if you didn't paint it, that was a knockoff your score. Had to paint it. Yeah, we had a friend who was in a wheelchair, and his nerves are messed up from an accident he got into, and he's like, I can't paint. You know, have somebody else paint it for me. You're knocking me off for that. And it was always a big deal.
Yeah.
And they were sticklers about that. But now I was like, hey, I don't want to paint it. I'll pay you to paint it.
Yeah.
That's perfectly fine.
Yeah. I mean, so long as you're not trying to pass it off as your own, sure.
Yeah.
That's totally fair.
That used to be a big stigma. Like, I didn't paint this. And that was you're a piece of crap. Because you didn't paint your stuff.
Yeah. Who cares? Like, I mean, it's just all I care about for me. Because it's just like, there's a bit of, okay, I painted the terrain, I painted my guys, and you show up with an unpainted gang. Well, I don't know, there's a bit of like respect for your opponent. Like, I want to be fully prepared, know all my rules, have my guys painted, showing up to the game. There's gonna be some stuff that I'm gonna have to check from time to time as far as the rules, that we get that. But as far as painting, it's like, you want to have, because like, I kill your Death Maiden or something like that. Like, I'd love to be able to take a photo of like me killing it.
Yeah.
So, or taking out some Blood for the Blood God and like scratching it on the tile where she died. And it's just like, I want to commemorate this. I want to take a photo. Meanwhile, your Death Maiden is laying next to it. So like your skull's bashed in or something.
Yeah. Instead of a
just gray plastic mini.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
And I mean, people look at painting as the something that's, oh, I can never. I get frustrated hearing people like, oh, I'm not going to attempt to paint because I'll never look near, like, I'll never have my minis look nearly as good as yours. It's like, I don't paint very well. I'm diligent about painting, and I'll sit down and paint. Like, I can afford the time to sit down for 4 or 5 hours and paint a mini. And if I want to go lean more into skin tones and try and get that blending just right, I can do it. But I don't ever want to see people not do the hobby because they think that they're unable to mimic what I'm able to achieve. And it's like, you can certainly get to the place that I'm at. Like, I'm not painting like Golden Demon like entries here. Like, everybody can get to this point. It's just a matter of getting used to the materials, getting...
Got to put the work in.
Got to put the work in. Yeah, it is.
You know. So you had, you said something to me the other, well, I think it was last month, like, hey, just pick up the brush, 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think it was Carl from Independent Characters, where he's like, you got to... his mantra was take 5 minutes and put some paint on a mini and always do at least 5 minutes. So you're making progress, and you'll find that once you sit down and start painting, okay, 5 minutes goes up, now 10, now 20, now 30. And you just spent 35 minutes painting.
And you're making it into a habit.
And you're making it into a habit. Yeah. And you're able to, like, even if it's little progressions, like, okay, this week, all I did was get my guns painted. Hey, progress is progress. Like, Horse Heresy crowd, like, that's kind of where they're coming from, where it's just like, hey, this is, like, a lot of new people are getting into it. We know that. You got all their backpacks painted. Cool. Great. Good job this week. And then come next week, oh, I got all the pauldrons done. Cool. Great. This is starting to come together. And it's just slowly, like an escalation league. You're slowly escalating, getting everybody painted up and doing it in a way that's not
overwhelming.
Yeah. You're not drinking from a fire hose. That it's easy to digest. You're able to get everything done in a way that's very approachable. So, but
I'll have my Escher's painted here soon, eventually.
After how many years?
Whatever. It doesn't matter. Why are you trying to shame me? I'm getting it done.
Shame.
I just got my hobby paralysis. I'm like, it's not going to look good. What am I going to paint this color?
You just got to do it.
I just got to do it.
Yeah. I'm
going to streak and grime it so all the mistakes will be covered up.
Exactly. And that's the thing is, like, when you start throwing streak and grime on it, it hides a lot of shit.
It doesn't highlight mistakes, it covers them.
Yeah, exactly. And like, oh, your pauldron or your armband, kind of, you got some flesh tones on it. Okay, well, maybe don't be like, you know that. Don't pull away from that. Just have some like grime and grit there.
Yeah.
So,
and if when you're looking at a model on the tabletop, like I heard a thing, like you only look at the top, like 2/3 of the model. Like, yep. On a space marine, like you really don't pay attention to their legs. It's just because their upper armor stands out so much. Mm-hmm. Like when a guy, like if you get a army commission, like a space marine army commissioned of somebody who does that normally, like they know where to highlight,
yep.
What they don't have to highlight. So, and still make it look good. So you don't got to highlight everything. You don't got to do that. There's a lot on the model that you're not going to see.
Yeah. And there's different styles that you can do. Like, you prime everything black. You come with an airbrush and do like a zenithal highlight for your highlights. And okay, cool. Then you hit it with whatever primary color you want as far as your base color. And now you have everything that is still in black is shadow. Hey, yeah, that works. Like, that's perfectly acceptable. And that can speed up your painting time. Especially for Necromunda. I mean, you can knock out a gang in a night doing it that way.
I don't believe you.
Oh, let's do it. Oh, prove you wrong.
No. Yeah, no, I could probably knock out, but I'm trying to be a perfectionist, and that's where like I come through. I'm like, oh, I have
to mess. But you don't need to turn the model upside down, paint on the inside of their leg. Like, it's just, you're never going to look. You may look at it, but...
Oh, trust me, I'm getting over my hobby paralysis. Like the Goliaths I just built.
Yeah.
So I took one of the jackals, mm-hmm. and I made him into a ganger.
Yeah.
Well, I used Goliath arms on them and they don't fit right. And I hate green stuff. Well, I don't hate green stuff. I don't like using green stuff. Once again, like painting, I'm not like good at it.
Yeah.
But underneath the arm where it connects, where the bicep would be sitting against your ribs, like there's a gap there. But if you're not looking underneath the model, you can't see it. I'm like, well, I don't need to fix it. Because nobody's going to be looking at it. And even if they do, what are they going to say? If they're a jerk and they say something about it, well, I'm like, well, you're a jerk. I don't care about your opinion.
Yeah.
And if somebody's like picking up my paint and like, oh, your paint job sucks. I'm like, well, I don't give a crap about your opinion now because I know you're a jerk.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like my spice harvester. If you look up underneath the top portion of the...
Top platform.
The top platform. It's the... Well, it's the...
Oh, the bunker.
From the Nachmund.
It's the top platform. I was going to go with that.
Yeah. I mean, it has the little doors that kind of open up. But yeah, it's from that.
The silo.
Yeah. The missile silo type thing. Yeah. Yeah. But if you look up underneath it, well, yeah, it's a hollow just piece of plastic. Like, the idea is not for you to pick it up and look up underneath. The idea is like, oh, okay, well, it's just sitting on the table and we're playing with it. Like,
yeah.
I don't think anybody is. Actually, I've had nobody comment on something like that, and it's not even a controversy at all.
Yeah, it's like on my MDF terrain.
Same with your guys.
I didn't paint the bottom of the MDF terrain.
Yeah,
I mean, I spray painted it, but I didn't weather it at all.
Yeah,
nobody's gonna see it.
Yeah, I can see like vehicles. I can see like making a case of painting underneath, getting that painted up, because if you want to have like an overturned ridge hauler or something, like it spun out of control and now it's crashed. Well, it'd be nice for it to be fully painted, because then it adds to that
the immersion
that game. Yeah. And it's just, oh, wow, look at that. Instead of, oh, ooh, look at that gray plastic or that
black primer.
Yeah. So that I can kind of see. And then with vehicles, it's easy to airbrush very fast.
If you have an airbrush.
Okay. I think everybody should. Just saying.
Well, it's not with anybody's hobby budget.
That is possible. Yes.
Yes. Okay. So we've kind of went off tangent a little bit.
Yeah.
Into your favorite thing of painting.
Yeah. Sorry.
But the hobby. The hobby can be any one of those five pillars. Mm-hmm. But if you're the one pillar playing, it has to be painted.
Yeah. I would say so.
I mean,
for Necromunda, especially.
Yeah, it should be painted. It's
especially for a campaign.
It's part of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, it draws people that might not be into Necromunda into it. I will also say, like, I've had complaints of using models that are primed black. They are hard to see.
Oh, yeah. And you'll forget them on the table.
And you will forget them. I've forgotten my guys, a guy one time. So, because he was like inside some building or something. And
that's why you always put them back on their card when
they're yeah, done. Yeah, yeah, that's true. So, yeah, it's
like it's part of a social contract with your opponent. You're going to show up there ready to play. You're going to have your models painted. You're going to have everything you need. You're going to have your cards, your dice, your rules.
Yeah.
Your ruler.
Yeah. Yeah, and the last thing you want to do is appear to be modeling for advantage, especially with them not like being primed black. It's not the best, because it's easy to overlook somebody.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just like if they're tucked up underneath some terrain in a shadow and your opponent's like, oh, okay, I'm just going to move my guys here. Well, now you're in direct line of sight of the big bad guy that is hiding in the shadows. It's not super great.
Yeah.
And when that happens, it's like, oh, okay, well, go ahead and take that back. Like, I get it. It's not that big of a deal. So... because when they know that, like, my sniper is, like, that's the one nomad that I have painted. Like, you're very attuned to where my sniper is.
Yes.
So that long rifle definitely hurts.
Well, I mean, what your one sniper, all your guys can have freaking long rifles.
Yeah, yeah, they're basic weapons. They're great. Bullshit. And I can throw gun shrouds on my long rifles. Double action. Bop. Got my gun shroud. Now you can't shoot me.
Can't shoot you, but I can shoot a grenade next to you.
You can't shoot a grenade next to me, but good luck.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I just want to see you jam it. Jam that grenade launcher.
I've done that twice.
Yeah.
Where it had exploded in the
chamber. Yeah.
I've had that twice. Okay. Well, I think that wraps up what is the hobby.
Yeah.
It's different.
It's different for everybody. And what your ultimate goal or aim is. But I would say if you're looking to play, having painted models, even if you're making progress, like I'm okay with players making progress on models. And I get that, like, everybody doesn't have 40 hours a week. Like, I mean, you have a job, you got kids, you got...
You got life.
Yeah, you have all these different responsibilities. I get slowly making progress. So you might start off with like a primed gang at the start. And then by the end of the campaign... you got like almost all of your gang painted. Cool. Great. Use them in the next campaign. because now you're that much more invested in that gang. So,
yeah.
And now for an ad break.
Electro Pro, what some Crocs crave. Available at any reputable Chems dealers.
Due to early contract agreements and lawsuits that Necromacho had early in his career, we must have Axel Jones on one segment for each show. We are sorry about this.
Hello, everybody. My socks have proven one of the biggest cover-ups that Necromunda has ever attempted to keep quiet. I'm talking about the underground earth below our feet. For eons, there were rumors and whispers of a vast world underneath us with rich water supplies, and now it has been confirmed. I have seen the vidcast recordings, and they aren't edited or anything. I mean, I've seen some vids that were edited and doctored, and I can spot them miles away, but these, no way. I know truth, authentic vid when I see it. So how did this enlightening revelation come about? You see, we paid a team to go out and find underground earth. And through a painstaking research effort of our staff, socks, we have indisputable proof that it exists. You Spire elites told us that it was just a ruse to shut up the people occupied, but we found it, you bastards. We got you right where we want. We reject your reality and lies. The socks know it, and now the world knows it. We are currently trying to raise funds to form a company called Burrowin. We will take your credits and pump it into the ground. We will drill so far down that anyone that is in the first round of investments will have premium access and having the least number of travel blackout dates down to the underground earth. Come on, people, put your credits where your mouth is and make this happen. We see you next time. Axel Jones, out.
The views, rantings, and conspiracy theories expressed by Axel Jones do not reflect Necromacho, Necromacho Entertainment, or any of its subsidiaries.
And our next topic is, what do you need to run a basic campaign? Your first one you ever do, what do you need? Well, first off, you need some players.
First off, you need players, yes.
So, at the minimum, you can do a two-player campaign if you each have multiple gangs.
Yeah, yeah.
Because just two gangs going at a campaign is not going to... Somebody's not going to be happy really fast. It's not going to work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're eventually going to run into one player just steamrolling the other player.
Yes. And preferably, you'd rather have you even number of players. I mean, if you have... That there's not an even number of players, that's easy to fix. You can like, hey, somebody has an off game. You just don't count what happens to your gang. Or the arbiter should have an extra gang that it could use just to play same points cost, same amount of credits, and just play the game. Whatever happened to that gang happens to that gang.
Yeah. And I would say having the book that you're wanting, like if you're wanting to do Ash Waste campaign, well you got to have the Ash Waste World Book.
If you just want to throw down a campaign just to get a campaign going, all you need is a rule book. Because you don't need to have all these extra rules.
No.
For your first one, you can just be like, hey, we don't have territories. We're just earning creds. We got your one settlement. So you got some creds coming in for a short campaign to get your feet wet, get your players excited.
To get them started, yeah.
Yeah.
And accustomed to all the bookkeeping that comes after a game.
Yes. So you need players, your rule book, your gang's rule book, your dice, all that jazz, which you normally play a game, some place to play, hopefully a store that has it, or if you have the terrain.
Gaming club or somebody's house. Yeah.
Somebody's house. And somebody has to step up.
And run it.
And run it. Because somebody has to be the final say. There always has to be somebody in charge.
There has to be some schmuck that it will do it.
Yes, they are the schmuck. Because in your Richard, you said in your notes you had to have some limits.
Limits and expectations.
Yes. So
for players.
Expectations. Obviously, this one should always be an expectation. Don't be a jerk. Don't be a dick. Don't be a dick.
Yeah. Plain and simple. Don't be a dick.
Yeah. Necromunda is not about power gaming unless you make a campaign be like, hey, we're going to try to break the game. You bring your dirtiest list.
Yeah.
But that's the exception. That's never the rule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, even then, I think people are still going to walk away with hurt feelings.
Oh yeah.
By the end of it.
Oh yeah. You can
charge a Deathmane in 120 inches.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
Sucks to be you.
Yeah.
There needs to be limits. Somebody has to impose some sort of limits.
Mm-hmm.
You can run a campaign like, hey, we're using all the rules in the main rule book and we're going for that. Yeah. You know, everything in the training post, we're going for that. I would not do that. If you're going to use tactic cards, you have to ban some tactics cards. There's some that are just
What's the one that stops your leader from showing up to the game?
Oh, the one that get private. I don't know. Bandits. I don't remember.
Yeah. I've never used it.
Or the one where your guy just dies. That's fun.
That's great. That's fun. Yeah.
That's not fun.
Automatic 66.
Oh, not a 66, but he's just taken out of that. He's taken out of the game. Doesn't even show up.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think they can die. You still got to roll on the table.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah. Wow. So there's some cards that are just no fun. If you wonder what they are, you can look them up. You can go to Goonhammer. People talk about them all the time, all over the web.
What's the Caldor one where it's like a tiles?
A tile catches fire?
Yeah. And it's just automatically on fire.
Yeah. That's so much fun. Not.
No. Being on fire sucks.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of fire, you know, hey, you're a Caldor player.
Don't spam.
You don't. I mean, you have flamers. You have flame weapons. You know, your blunderbusses, whatever.
Yeah.
Don't be a jerk and just bring nothing but flamers. I understand they got the flame aesthetic. You know, if you want to bring 3 blunderbusses because they're dirt cheap, okay, we get it. But don't bring 15 of them.
Yeah, exactly. No,
you're not making any friends. Nobody wants to play with you.
Yeah.
So somebody has to be there to impose the rules, because there will eventually, if you get a campaign with, you know, 7-8 people, somebody's going to be like, oh, this is okay. You know, I should be able to do this. This is in the rules, and not thinking about that just in the moment. Like, and you're like, no, you don't need 3 plasma guns in your list.
Absolutely not. Yeah. 1 is nasty. 2 is, what are you doing?
Yeah. You know, in my Goliath list, I have 6 and 1,000 crit starting gang. I have 6 models. So it's mine's toys for boys, and it's not even that many toys.
Yeah.
But I have a heavy bolter.
Oh.
And 2 grenade launchers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you sure you want to do this? Like, that's a bit rough.
Yeah, but I only got 6 models.
True, yeah. But grenade launchers are.
Yeah, well,
what's their ballistic skill?
A 4 and I think a 5.
Okay.
But I don't plan on, I will not have any other special weapons or heavy weapons. That's all I have built.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
Yeah. When I plan a gang, mm-hmm. I plan it out to 1500 creds.
Okay.
And I might build some extra models just in case I do something extra.
Yeah.
But I don't have any other, I have 2 grenade launchers and the heavy bolter. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Okay.
If I add any more guys as the campaign goes along, I have 1 guy with the bolter because that model looks cool,
mm-hmm.
which I probably won't take. The other guys are hand to hand.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't have plans on. Well, I can squeeze a plasma gun in there too. With it.
Yeah.
No hand flamers. I'm not doing that jazz.
Okay.
Oh, that's a lie. I have a Juve that I'm making with an incendiary grenade.
Okay.
That's 1 shot. Okay. You know, he'll probably run out of ammo whenever he throws it.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that's not even in my starting list. That's down the line.
Yeah.
So I have plans like, okay, everybody's like, that could be nasty, like you just said, but I don't have any, I will not bring any other special heavy weapons.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
And grenades are scarce ammo, right?
I mean, well, you got to roll, you got to make a.
No, but I mean, like when you, but it's labeled scarce, right? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah. Once you roll, you're out for the game.
Okay. So you make your 1 roll and it's what, a 4 or 5 up?
It depends on what grenade you have.
Okay.
So actually that only applies to grenades, like a guy throwing a grenade, not grenade launcher. Grenade launcher, you can.
Yeah.
You can reload that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So it's still pretty, it's kind of bad, but my guys are going to be running up the board. I'm not going to be aiming with them. They're going to be running up the board. Yeah. I'm going to be moving and shooting. I'm trying to, you know, I'm Goliath. I'm not going to outshoot you.
Yeah.
I got to get up to you.
Yeah.
Even the guy with a heavy bolter, he's going to be moving towards you.
Okay.
So, yeah. Okay. You need rules in place so you know what people can't do.
Yeah. I would say having defined start date.
Yes. End date. You need a schedule.
Yeah.
You have to have a schedule. People need to know how long this is going to last.
How many games are expected in a week or 2 weeks?
So here in the United States, from my experiences, is you can't let people run wild and have them play as many games as they want, because there's people that will that have the time to be able to go up to the store or wherever you're playing, and they can bust out 15 games in a week easy. And some guys can only get 2 games a week.
Yeah.
You know, they're that's no good event. When that guy that plays 2 games plays a guy versus 15 games, I know there's
a huge disparity between the two.
Yeah. I know, you know,
the amount of like tactics cards you get access to because of that isn't going to be enough to,
oh, you can only bring, you know, let's say the, a Goliath stimmer with carapace armor with friends on and all this other crap. It doesn't matter how many tactics cards you're going to. If he gets into your lines, your gang is screwed.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not going to happen. It's not fun. So you got to put a limit on how many games people can play.
Yeah.
So they know what they need to try to achieve. So for us,
we had essentially a game a week.
Yeah, it was
a game a week. Two games every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Was what we had to.
And for the one coming up, I got to, because that was a test campaign. The new one coming up, it's going to be three games max for a week.
Okay. Yeah.
I know some people it's going to be hard to do if you got to make it next week because of your time schedule. Yeah. You know, it is what it is. But they need to schedule, need to know when it ends. There's very few people that want to play a perpetual campaign that goes on forever without a reset.
Yeah. Because that's the other thing is like, as midway through, you realize, I'm playing Nomads. That's maybe not the game that I really like am falling in love with. They're not what I thought they were. And then, well, only to realize this is perpetual. Like, I got to, like, start completely fresh. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. So, you need a start date, end date, how many games you're going to play, and you need a way to record all this and a way to communicate. So, if you're in a club, well, hey, the club meets every Tuesday. Well, that's how you're going to communicate. We know Tuesday, everybody's going to show up. We're going to play.
Yeah.
If you don't have that option, you need some, like, a Facebook message group, a Discord,
yeah,
whatever it is you use, you have to be able to communicate with all the players. Not everybody uses Facebook. I know some of our people don't use Facebook. So Discord,
it's easy enough to get in.
Yeah.
Start.
You don't got to know how to use Discord to use Discord. You don't need to be an expert in it.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's other apps out there. There's Line.
Some people use Yak Tribe to run their campaigns.
Okay, running campaigns, Yak Tribe is great because you can do all kinds of stuff on there. It's not the Necromunda. Trying to do Necromunda online is hard because there's so many things that get left out. You can't just account for them in a program. Mm-hmm. So you have to. There has to be some paper bookkeeping. So for like our campaign, I had Discord. I had, hey, this is what you need to report after every game. This, you know, what mission you play or scenario played, how many creds you made.
Anybody taken out of action.
Yeah, anybody out of action, if territories, whatever your criteria are, it needs to be reported by both players.
Yeah.
So it's verified. And then do everything and preferably do all their gang adjustments in Yak Tribe. And like, if they needed to roll for creds, they either had to roll them in front of their opponents or whatever they had to roll for. They had to roll in front of the opponent and report it in their thing on Discord, or I got a little Discord bot and like, hey, Discord bot, roll 3d6, and it rolled 3d6, and that's what you got.
Yeah. And then just attach like rolled for going to the trading post.
Yeah.
And this is what I got.
Yeah. So, because it's unfortunate, but somebody has to keep track of what everybody's doing.
Yeah.
You know, maybe somebody makes a mistake. Like, hey, I sold a guy, you know, I captured a guy and I sold him. Okay. Well, you don't get full creds for that guy. You get half the creds unless you're an enforcer or a bounty hunter or something.
Unless it's slave auger, then you get full creds.
Oh, okay. Well,
I think, yeah.
Well, there's special rules.
From what I remember.
Yeah. Just to make sure everybody's on the straight and narrow, make sure mistakes aren't being made.
Yeah. Yeah, and you also don't want like bad habits forming where it's like, oh, I sell them every time as full credits. And it's like, well, now they've played 5 games where they've done that every game. Unlikely, but possible. And it's like, they now have that habit of I get full credits.
Yeah.
Not exactly.
And the arbitrator should step in and be like, hey, man, you're not, why don't you give them, you know, lay off of that. You're not making any friends. Nobody's going to play you anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. The last thing you want is somebody running away with it. And it's like, well, we don't want to play against Bob because you walk up and a stiff breeze kills you.
Yeah.
Because his gang is just way overpowered.
Yeah. Or you keep on selling the people into slavery and they can't get them
back.
That
too. Yeah.
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 You know, nobody likes that. I mean, you sell one or two guys, hey, it's part of the game.
Yeah.
But if you're doing it all the time, no friends.
Yeah.
So if you run a narrative campaign, you know, you have some, it doesn't have to be anything deep. If first time getting into it, somebody wants, you know, if your players want a narrative campaign, not everybody wants a narrative campaign.
Yeah.
It's more immersive and fulfilling to me if you run a narrative campaign.
You know, well, I mean, you have stories to tell after the fact.
Yeah, you're building your gang story. Mm-hmm. It just adds to it.
Yeah.
But if people don't want that, then don't do that because they will not enjoy that.
Yeah.
But if people want some narrative, it doesn't have to be anything fancy. It could be, you know, hey, you're fighting for, they found a working ash gate. You know, it was uncovered and everybody's fighting to control this ash gate.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. It doesn't have to be anything too deep. You know, you can add more as you go along, but just start off, it could be something simple.
Yeah. And I mean, especially starting, you can do fun things of, okay, you're fighting over the ash gate. Well, now you're dealing with person, like in subsequent campaigns, you can have whoever controlled the ash gate is still impacting the campaign 3 or 4 campaigns later. Because maybe the arbitrator has said, okay, this person that controlled the ash gate is over it. And they're limiting like what's coming and going. And that controls maybe the flow of what's coming in and out of a particular spire.
Yeah, you can get pretty in-depth.
Yeah, and you can have a long-running narrative.
Which is what I'm trying to do with our campaign.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's all you really need for a campaign. You need the players, a limit on the rules, saying what you're not going to do, what you're not going to use. Like, hey, we're only using the basic rules. This is what we're banning.
Yeah.
We're not allowing.
This is what our expectations are for the campaign.
Start date, end date, how many games you're going to play. That's what you need.
Yeah.
Oh, and then somebody to
arbitrate.
Arbitrate, voluntold, volunteer, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, just get out there and do it. I mean, nobody, if anybody gets mad at you for running a campaign, they can run the next one. I mean, unless you're doing a horrible job and just being a jerk about doing it.
Don't take everything personal
in
this.
I'm saying,
there's criticism, sure.
We've had experience where the arbitrator was not a good arbitrator, didn't do the job they're supposed to do. Mm. And that made the campaign fall apart, that and COVID. But even without COVID, it would have fell apart anyways.
It was on the brink already.
Yeah. So as long as you're trying to put forth effort and not showing any favoritism, it should go well. And people should never complain about, hey, he ran a campaign. He didn't do enough.
Yeah.
Well, then how about you come up with some ideas?
Yeah.
You run it how you want to run it. And I'll
And I'll just be a player.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's especially when it's, okay, we're doing it at the game store. We're not trying to, there's not like a $50 buy-in or something. Like, we're not trying to buy terrain and stuff like that and put it all together.
This is you putting in your time for free.
Yeah. You're,
to have a good time.
You're herding cats and you got to figure out all of the different stats, the changes from week to week. It's a lot to manage.
Yeah.
And sure, it sounds like somebody else can, like you think, oh yeah, I can do that. That's easy. It's like, oh, well. You're dealing with not only people changing their stats, checking, making sure that nothing's getting out of hand, dealing with those players. You're checking for persons that are, you're dealing with people's different personalities, making sure that everybody gels together and there's no kerfuffles.
Yeah. So if you're running your first campaign, I would advise you to try to run with people you know.
Yes.
Because that way you know their personality. If you open it up to say a whole game store, hey, I'm going to run a campaign, come sign up for it. by this date and you've never met these people before,
you don't know what you're getting.
Yeah. You could have a problem child. You could have everything be sunshine and roses, but you don't know what you're getting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like when you do something like that, you're really opening up the power gamer to come in and just fuck it up. And this great, wonderful story that you articulated and spent 30 hours writing down, having all these great plot points happening, they could just come in and just wreck it.
Yeah. So playing a Necromunda campaign as arbitrator is a lot like DMing.
Yeah.
For Dungeons & Dragons, because you have all this stuff planned and the players can just go to the far right.
Yeah.
Like what just happened?
Yeah.
Well, I had this perfectly crafted narrative and y'all are over here, you know,
squabbling over fish.
Yeah. You're supposed to be fighting the this chaos cult, but now all y'all turn to chaos and y'all are trying to overthrow, you know, the Arbites. Like what's going on here? This is not what I was going for. Plans change, so you just gotta accept that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's gotta roll with the changes. But I mean, the last thing you want, like I think the most important thing when running a campaign, granted, this is I've DM'd, I haven't ran a campaign for Necromunda, but the expectation of what you want out of your players and the reality, like, hey, if you start being that guy and you're running plasma guns, running just a crap ton of power gamey things, well, I'm going to punch you into the dirt because this isn't what I want for the campaign.
Yeah, that's what it's about. Yeah, you're not punishing players to do well. You're resetting people that are kind of being jerks.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like, okay, you got one plasma gun. Okay, sure. Two plasma guns. Three. Okay, bud, slow down. I see what you're doing here.
Yeah.
But it's
such a good weapon. +2 to hit at short range. Yeah.
It's a great weapon, but the problem is, like, it's the feel bads. Because if you're within, 6 inches?
No, it's within 12 inches.
Oh, within 12. Okay. Yeah, within 12. Regardless of wounds, if they're taken out, they're taken out.
No, you're thinking about melted gun.
Oh, okay, yes.
No, 12 inches on a plasma gun, it's +2 to hit.
Okay.
Which is...
So you're hitting on twos, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, that's rough. But that's also, my nomads have blast carbines, which is a +2.
Yeah, but...
I mean, they're not as powerful as... Yeah. And it's like...
Your blast carbines are
no AP.
They're auto guns.
Yeah.
They're auto guns that have shock.
Yeah. With shock. Yeah.
Then they get +2 short range. Okay.
Yeah.
Not that.
No AP.
Yeah. Not that big of a deal.
Yeah. One damage piece. Yeah. But
not 2 damage rapid fire.
What's AP on a plasma gun?
-2.
-2. Okay. Yeah. So that's rough. I mean, that could easily send you out, saves whatsoever. Especially if it's like ganger or something.
Oh yeah, ganger's just gone.
Yeah. They might have mesh armor, maybe, depending how much you like them.
Right. So, just do it.
Yeah, if you're wanting to start a campaign and nobody else is stepping up, just do it.
Yeah.
It's like Roy said, start with people you know, preferably. People you get along with. People that are easygoing, fingers crossed.
I mean, sometimes if you're really fiending for a game... And you don't know people who play, I would first, like we said last episode, you know, try to get people into the game,
mm-hmm.
play a couple games first with them, if you know,
yep.
feel them out, because some people say playing a bad game is better than playing no game, and that's not true.
Yeah, I strongly disagree with that because playing a bad game, like somebody that's just gamey as hell, it can turn me off from a game.
Yeah, it make you never play again.
That's yeah.
Like when I started in the second edition, learning game, the guy just demolished me, just wiped the floor with me, and I was like, well, I'm not playing this game again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for me, it's when I'm playing with a new person who's never played Necromunda before, it's like, okay, well, I can go do this, do that. I could shoot them off that thing with my knockback rifle, have them fall into this pit and die. most likely. I'm not going to do that. That's not fun for them. It's hella fun for me. Yeah. But for them, it's just like...
You're both supposed to have fun.
Yeah. I want them to have just as much as an enjoyable time. So I'll hold back those punches. It's like, okay, now you got your feet wet. Second game, third game, I'm not holding any punches. I'll try and win.
Yeah, try to win, but...
Don't do it in a dick way.
Yeah, don't do it in a dick way. Like, oh, you know, oh, you're a couple centimeters short on that charge. You got the charge, man.
Yeah, stuff like that is easy.
It's a narrative. It's supposed to be a narrative game.
You're supposed to be building
your gang's lore
mm-hmm.
and their experience, and you want to see cool stuff. Why did I do that dumb thing with my guy? Because if it works, it's going to be cool as hell.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, he'll probably get shot to death because he's out in the middle of nowhere. But if it works, you're going to remember that.
Yeah. It's like we had a Ash Waste game. It was a three-way, and we had a Escher's Death Maiden trying to jump from a ridge hauler onto another vehicle in front of it. So he rolls. Of course, he gets a one, falls, and gets ran over by the ridge hauler.
As you should.
Yeah. It was just like, at that point, it was like, okay, we're just going to automatically take her out. She's out of action.
Yeah.
Because, of course, you're going to go underneath the wheels of this.
Of an 18-wheeler.
18-wheeler, essentially. Yeah. And they're gone.
Yeah.
So roll on the injury chart and see what happens. And it's just.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Playing with the spirit of the game, I think, is paramount. And that's where your players and you as well, the arbitrator, derive the most enjoyment out of it.
Yeah.
So
the crazy fun stuff is what you're going to remember.
Yeah.
Unless somebody's being a dick, then you remember that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I had that happen. Let's see. Who was I playing? I was playing a game. My champion just had an inch and a half leap, rolled that one, fell down, seriously injured herself. Never got back up the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Stayed there, seriously injured the whole damn time. I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah.
It was funny because you keep rolling. Seriously injured. Okay. There she is. Another good initiative. She's so athletic. Okay. Well, I think that wraps it up for today.
Yeah.
Okay. Once again, thank you for listening to the Necro Macho Entertainment Experience podcast. I am Roy.
And I'm Richard.
And you can reach us at Instagram at the Necro Macho Entertainment.
Mm-hmm. You can also follow me, my painting adventure on Instagram at Les Gray Minis, G-R-A-Y Minis.
And as always, you can reach us through email at necromachoentertainment@gmail.com.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends.
You've been listening to the Necro Macho Entertainment Podcast. Ooh, yeah! Where the high scum rise through the top.